Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
I mentioned at the start of the show today this story on the front of the Irish Independent, bank holiday blitz to enforce COVID certs, and basically health inspectors, the environmental health officers, the HSA, the Health and Safety Authority, they're going to be out over the bank holiday weekend. It's all part of a fresh drive to try and ramp up compliance on the COVID-19 rules and regulations, because we've been hearing over the past couple of days about people going into pubs and restaurants and coffee shops and they're not even been asked in many cases for their digital COVID cert. I mean, Tony Houlihan was even talking about this at an incident he had at the airport. Take a listen.
And I had my own experience. I came through Dublin Airport last Friday and I wasn't checked in terms of my status. Whereas I was checked in
on the other side.
Yes, I was.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm concerned about that. And I think this is just an example of, you know, one of those, I think we have the means, we have the technology, the data, all of that kind of stuff to lift up, if you like, our level of collective performance in terms of enforcement and oversight.
Yeah, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, talking about his own experience at an airport there too. Plenty of others, just like Tony Houlihan, not having their COVID certs checked. Look, 53106, if you want to get in touch with us on the show. Helena Tuberty is on the line, the fertility expert. Helena, what was your experience with the COVID cert?
Hi, Andrea. Yes, I was happily delighted to be out meeting people, going for lunches and various things, flashing my, you know, brand new COVID cert. And it was, gosh, about a week later that I realised that it wasn't mine, it was my husband's. And I guess I'm now being outed on the national airwaves because I may not have mentioned it to him at the time. For, you know, because the slagging would have been incredible, you know. And of course, you know, I mean, I was going to a very nice establishment and, you know, people were very good. I mean, I don't have too much by way of a beard. I don't think I need a massive amount of laser treatment. My hair is fairly long. And it was only when I went to go digital that I realized I was using my other half's cert. And, you know, the staff, you know, maybe I had distracted them by chatting merrily, you know, the joys of actually being out again. This is back early in the summer. And I know it's a huge ask for restaurants to have had staff on the doors, you know, sorting through all of this. But honestly, I didn't realise I could have had a whole life as 006 and a half, you know, on assumed identities. Mm. So I was quite shocked. I was embarrassed. But I was also quite shocked that it was so easy for me to blag my way in.
How long would you reckon, Helena, you were going around with your husband?
I must have gone, you know, to at least about four or five establishments. Yeah, so it was, you know, quite, I really couldn't believe it. I went to enter into my phone. I took, you know, my cert was sitting in a poly pack pocket in my bag. I was feeling so smug and delighted to have it. And then I realized I'd obviously kleptoed his at some stage. And no, I was really puzzled when I saw it. And it's like, gosh, I just hadn't looked properly, obviously.
Just and the wrong
one. Nobody picked it up. And I mean, the proper full checks were going on, I thought. So yeah, you know, obviously I was totally compliant and all of that, but it was just an error on my half, and you know, I was glad to have it rectified. But it is a concern, and I'm glad that it's going to be taken seriously. But I do think, as I say, for restaurants, it is, you know, they're doing so much already; they're so short-staffed anyway, and you know, back in the kitchens, I mean, there's you know, kitchen staff are as rare as hen's teeth now. So everybody's really stretched to the limit. So I really, you know, I had no blame. I felt very culpable and very silly, really, you know. And I know in the grand scheme of things. Sorry?
No, I was just going to say it's interesting because, like, obviously in your case, as you say, it was a totally genuine mistake. You just had lifted the wrong cert. But, like, there was obviously no check on any of the restaurant's part on the COVID cert properly to look at it to see that you weren't in actual fact your husband. But they obviously weren't asking for the ID either. You know, they've to ask for the photo ID to cross-check. So,
well, I was, because I do remember, I mean, my driver's licence is my own. It's, you know, perfectly up to date. So, and that's a photo ID. So I do think that it's being unaccustomed to doing this.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just told to be checking people, you're stressed, you're fussed, and in a restaurant you're dealing with hungry people who are really anxious to get fed and who've been queuing. So the stress on those young staff, you know, inexperienced staff, untrained staff, I think is a massive thing. And I think, you know, again, it mightn't have been quite the right pathway, perhaps.
Okay. 1890 453 106 if you want to get in touch with us. Helena, I just want to bring in Michael as well. Michael is on the line. Do you think we need to take the whole digital COVID cert a little bit more seriously, Michael?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yes, in particular, what grabbed my attention was there yesterday when the government had a meeting with the hospitality industry, especially the hotel.
I'm just going to reconnect, Michael, with you there. Just give us one moment. 1890 453 106 if you want to get in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live, or you can get us either on the News Talk text line. It is 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Dr. Brian Higgins is a GP. He's based in Galway. He's with us as well here on the line. Brian, I saw you you were tweeting about this as well today. What happened to you?
I was venting on Twitter as I do occasionally. Look, thanks very much for asking me to come on. I think the debate and discussion around people who've chosen not to vaccinate is a very interesting one, and it's one I think that doctors are very willing to have, but it is causing quite a lot of difficulty for us.
In what way, Brian?
Well, I think it's really important to remember that every person has a right to autonomy. We're very, very lucky insofar as we live in a very free society where people are allowed to make their own decisions and everyone is entitled to a certain amount of care. But I think sometimes that right to autonomy, which is incredibly important, is confused with the right to put other people at risk. Now, 10% of the population hasn't been vaccinated, and I think we've done amazingly well, and it's been such a credit to the health service and the population of Ireland that we've done this vaccination programme really to protect ourselves, but also to protect our communities. And in that 10% who've chosen not to vaccinate, there's reasons why people don't do it, and I think very few people truly believe they're making a wrong decision.
Go on ahead, Brian.
So I was going to say, like, doctors, we're very, very happy to have a conversation with patients about vaccinations. And I have patients who are, for reasons, be that anxiety, personal decisions, a myriad of reasons, they choose for now not to vaccinate because they're scared. But they've chosen not to vaccinate, but they're also not necessarily putting me or my staff at risk. They're very careful with social distancing. They'll wear a mask. They won't come into the practice if they're symptomatic. They'll do a lot of appointments over the phone. So while they've chosen not to vaccinate, they're actively still trying to protect other people around them. But there is a cohort of patients who've been causing a huge amount of difficulty for healthcare workers. And they're people who may believe that, or maybe not believe in COVID, or believe that we're trying to actually put them in harm's way by vaccinating them. And I've had patients who've chosen not to vaccinate, who've contacted the practice with symptoms that are likely to be COVID, have refused testing, and then have presented to the practice without masks, without having been tested, and have been incredibly abusive to my staff that we are reluctant to see them. Now, I will never let a patient of mine who's acutely unwell not be seen. But these people aren't very... The experience that I've had with some of these patients, they haven't been very sick. They just don't believe in COVID. They don't believe in the vaccine. And they're very... And they're not willing to think of the what if I'm wrong question. They don't care. And they would come into my practice and put my staff, who've spent the last 2 years trying their absolute best in incredible situations to look after our cohort of patients who for like 99.9% have been amazingly supportive. And these people are willing to put all of those around them at risk. And we don't really know what to do with these patients. It's just a very difficult situation.
So what did you do?
I kicked them out, to be honest. I did I could see that it's very different. If someone came in very short of breath, sighing, I was obviously sick, I would gown up and I would see them. But these are people who came into my reception and hurled abuse at my staff. So my priority was protecting my staff and the other patients who are vulnerable. But I don't know what could happen. Either any of those patients could report me to the medical council for not refusing to see them and for really trying to protect those around them. And it's a precarious place to be. Now, if there's a complaint to the medical council, I'll stand up and I'll defend my position because I truly believe I did the right thing. But it's hard when you are unsure how supported you're going to be in that situation.
What happens in the case if somebody had, and you know, if there was a medical emergency or someone did require urgent treatment? I mean, as a GP, can you tell that from an initial assessment at the doorway, or?
Pretty much, yeah. We've a lot of people can be caught out, but with something like a respiratory illness, what people will get is they'll become short of breath, so their lungs aren't working as well, so they're not really able to breathe. So if you've ever been, if you've ever run a 100-meter sprint as fast as you can, you can't really stand up and scream at the top of your lungs at somebody with that level of breathlessness. So when somebody's standing and screaming at my staff, you can be pretty certain that you're not in respiratory distress.
Just on that, Brian, like if people, you know, as you said yourself, people have autonomy to make their own decisions, and some maybe for health reasons or in maybe a certain stage of a pregnancy might have, you know, for whatever reason, not got their vaccine at this point. Maybe they're going to do it at another stage.
Yeah.
I saw that in your tweet as well. You made the point that you've had difficult conversations with unvaccinated patients, and you often ask yourself, why do they still want me to be their doctor when they don't trust my advice?
So that is, I think I did that really to start a conversation as opposed to it being a statement. So I have patients who are coming in and they're willing to have a conversation and they're saying, look, for my personal reasons, I'm really scared, or I just can't, or do you know what, I've been trying to get pregnant for 10 years and I'm so worried about doing anything that's going to harm this pregnancy. Again, we're not going to force any treatments on anybody. Like, our jobs are to advise and help, not to cause trauma or increase somebody's concerns or worries. Like, we're really, really there to help. But that decision of autonomy comes with the level of responsibility that you have to say, look, I'm not vaccinated, so, you know, I'm not going to be able to go indoors and have dinner inside and put other people at risk. I'm going to have to wear my mask. I'm going to have to be more careful with social distancing. If I have symptoms of a viral illness, I'm going to have to isolate and get tested. That'll be very important. And I think that's very reasonable. It's a very, very, very small cohort that are those difficult conversations where somebody's trying to tell me that COVID doesn't exist. And I've had patients who died of COVID. So somebody telling me that doesn't exist, I've seen people very, very sick, or I've had patients end up in ICU and almost die from it. And then somebody's trying to have a conversation with me, telling them that it doesn't exist, or that this vaccine, which we know is very, 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 very safe, is dangerous, and I'm kind of part of the conspiracy to try hurt them. And it's more those patients who believe that I would do something, not necessarily that somebody wouldn't follow my advice. Like, people don't follow my advice all the time.
Well, I was just thinking, like, sure, I take advice from, you know, from my accountant or, you know, other people, and sometimes I mightn't take that advice, you know, but it doesn't mean I don't trust, you know, don't trust them, or don't follow it to the letter, you know, like, but...
It's kind of like saying, it's like bringing your car to the mechanic, and the mechanic says, look, it won't start because it needs a new battery, and you say, well, I don't believe in batteries. It's not necessarily, okay, well, I've heard a knock in the engine and it's been so stern, I think it could be something else. It's that kind of foundational chasm and belief that's very, very difficult, and that sort of lack of trust,
Brian,
in the doctor that, you know.
Thanks, Brian, for joining us here on the programme. As I said, we spotted that on online. I just thought it was an interesting conversation just to talk to. As you heard there, Dr. Brian Higgins, he's a GP in Galway. Michael is with us again. Michael, you think we should be taking all of this a lot more seriously in terms of the digital COVID cert?
Yes, good afternoon, Andrea. What grabbed my attention in particular was yesterday when the government met the hospitality industry, and also the hoteliers were involved. So I said, oh, here we go. I said, there's going to be a change to the current rules in regarding the hotels. So where I'm going with this is, way back when the economy started slowly opening up again, the hotels were allowed to open for non-emergency services, such as like medical staff and so on. So, and to me, that was a good thing. I mean, the hotels, the hospitality industry in general, were on their knees. The population was on its knees. Everybody wanted to relax. So they were allowed to book into hotels, and you didn't need a COVID cert because there wasn't one, because the vast majority of the population were not vaccinated. So everybody knew this, and everybody was in the same boat. But if you roll on forward now several months, where it's the other way around, where the vast majority, as far as I know, it's up around the 90% of the adult population are vaccinated. So when you look at that now, that's a complete different story. And that was then, and this is now. So what I'm saying is, we've rolled out all these regulations now in relation to having the COVID cert to go into bars, into restaurants, into most places. And it's and you feel it's unfortunate that the staff themselves have to enforce that, but so be it, they have to, you know. But to get around all this, if you had a few bob, all you have to do is book into a hotel. Once you, like, with the old rules, once you were a guest inside in the hotel,
right,
you could basically you could avail of the bar, you could avail of the restaurant, and now that there's live music inside back in hotels, you can avail of the live music.
Okay.
So,
What's your own experience, Michael, Justin, you know, without even, you know, naming places, but what's your own experience? Have you had your, if you go for a coffee or lunch or a pint or dinner or whatever, have you been asked for your cert?
Yeah, I had a occasion there to go to a restaurant, and what normally, what happened to me basically was I went into the restaurant and I offered to show my cert. And I said, oh yeah, we look at it when you sit down, just go to your place. So I sat down, but they never come around again to look at it.
Okay. I actually, you know, I had a similar situation myself, actually, just the other day. I was in a place and they brought us out to the kind of, I suppose, the beer, not the beer garden, but they had a kind of an outdoor dining part of the restaurant. And it was nearly so indoors, I actually thought I was indoors. I didn't even realise I was outdoors. So when I sat down, I said to the waitress, you know, do you want to see my COVID cert? Because she hadn't asked for it. And then she reminded me that, well, you're outside. So I had it out anyway to show it. But it did cross my mind that, you know, I wonder how frequently are these been asked for and how frequently are they being checked. Like this listener's got in touch as well. Myself and my friends, we were in Galway the weekend. Every bar, restaurant and cafe we were in that we entered, they did ask for the COVID ID. We just want to say all of the young people, absolutely fantastic. Well done. And that comes in from one listener. Sheila's on the line as well. Sheila, what's your thoughts on this? Like, is there more pressure on the businesses, the establishments to try and enforce this?
Well, in my experience, the businesses and establishments have been, you know, enforcing it, but sensibly, Andrea. The thing is, if you go to a restaurant and you go back to that same restaurant, they don't need to check because they've seen it before, for example.
That's true, yeah.
Or the Tony Houlihan thing coming in at the airport. I mean, the sensible checker looked at Tony Houlihan, knew well he was vaccinated. He didn't waste time looking for Tony Houlihan's vaccination cert. And similarly, I mean, I was on a trip to Kerry recently and we were in Dingle and the organiser had advised all the people, all the venues that we were visiting, that we were all vaccinated and there were no hold-ups. You know, people have to be sensible and use common sense.
Well, I think if you go to, you know, a coffee shop for your lunch or you get a coffee two or three times a week and it's a small town and you know the people locally, as I know would be the case
exactly.
At home, we'll say, for instance, with many of the places I know there. But like in the likes of Dublin and Cork and bigger cities, unless you're going somewhere quite regularly, it'd be hard, though, to know that without checking.
Well, I suppose it would. But I mean, it is a huge you know, responsibility on restaurants and hotels to check all this every time. And really, I mean, there should be personal responsibility. Mm. We seem to be getting to the stage now where, like, we have to be told every detail of everything we do. I mean, surely people can use their own common sense and, you know, use their own discretion.
Yeah.
If they feel they're unsafe in a place, just don't go in.
Yeah, get up and leave. Yeah,
no, I mean, you hear so many people saying, I was in such a place and they didn't check my cert. Well, why did you go in if you felt unsafe?
Yeah.
you know, people have to start. We've been mollycoddled a bit too much at the moment.
I agree with you completely, Sheila. Thanks a million for getting in touch with us here on the programme. Actually, a text in here from somebody who says they are an airline worker. Justin Tony Houlihan, the CMO, like everybody else, would have uploaded documents prior to travel. You can't get your boarding pass without doing that, according to this text. Another listener again, I was shocked to learn that people who are not vaccinated have been allowed to visit a cancer ward in a local hospital. None of the family were asked to show their COVID cert, neither at the door or in entering the oncology ward. That comes in from one text. This listener too, I was in a restaurant last week. There was no checks in the door. I was able to order food. I was only asked for a vaccination cert when I was paying in the centre of the restaurant. The staff were only acknowledging the customers had a cert and not looking for them or checking the ID of the customer. Businesses who are required to check customers for their vaccination ID should have security or a COVID compliance number of staff at the door to make sure only vaccinated people can enter the premises. I think the way forward is just spot checks. I think this blitz at the weekend will definitely kind of hammer this home as well to so many businesses and too to all of us as individuals, as Sheila pointed out. Where is the responsibility? The personal responsibility. 53106 if you want to get us here on the News Talk text line today.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.